good piece for this theme this month. I'm looking out here and saying, people aren't in their regular spots. I have to see where they are. I love seeing people at the tables. Well, the scripture I've chosen for today for our final Sunday of this month is one of the, for me, classic stories of healing. And so we read from John 8, 1 to 11. Well, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. That's the finish of the prior verse. He's gone to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again back to the temple. And all the people came to him, and he sat down and he began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery. And making her stand before all of them, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law of Moses, commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" They said this to test him, so that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let anyone among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." And once again he bent down and wrote on the ground. When they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the elders, and Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, sir." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go your way, and from now on, do not sin again." A word from our Holy Scripture. Humans are remarkable beings, don't you think? Most of the time. In Psalm 139, the writer celebrates his wonder at how amazing human beings are and how he has been created by saying this: "Yes, you shaped me first inside, then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. I thank you, God, you are breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made, bit by bit. How I was sculpted from nothing into something. Like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life all prepared before I'd even lived one day." I think humans are indeed amazing, complicated, but amazing, remarkable beings. With our bodies, we're able to move in ways that can achieve extraordinary things. We can think about things such that we can bring together dissonant ideas and make some sense of them. We can feel emotions, sometimes in such rapid succession, that we can be laughing and crying all at the same time. We can imagine things that do not yet exist, and then we can create them. Really amazing, really quite remarkable. Of course, there is a great complexity to humanity. Within each of us, we can hate with such vehemence, while at the same time still express loyalty and love to those in our lives. We can randomly lash out at people we don't know and in the next moment turn to somebody and carry out a very civil conversation. And our emotions often seem to control us, yet we seem to be able to maintain a relatively stable life. The variety in our lives, in our thoughts and our emotions, are so mind-boggling in the course of one day. Yet we seem to keep it together so that we can get up each day and function in that day. This month, as I said, we've been exploring the theme of healing. And it is a fact of life that we all need healing. And while we wish it might be otherwise, it is a reality that within the very nature of humanity, if we are human, We are in so many ways vulnerable and susceptible to brokenness in body, in mind, and in heart. Which means that at different points in our lives, we will be wounded in each of these areas, probably hundreds of times. Our hearts will be broken by loss and betrayal. Our bodies will be compromised by illness, injury, and aging. And our minds will be compromised by overload, inactivity, worry, and hopelessness. Each of us on our own journeys will experience these things in different ways. Woundedness and brokenness are inevitable, normal for every single human being, which means that all of us will need healing over and over again. We will be wounded in our lives many times, and we will need to be healed each and every time. The issue then for us is not that we will be wounded or need healing. That's a given. The real concern for our lives is whether we will recognize our need for healing so that we can get what we need to be healthy and whole in body, mind, and spirit. Healing then is imperative, because when wounds in our lives are not healed, they remain opened wounds that will do damage in our lives and in the lives of each other. Each wound to our body, to our minds, and to our hearts that remains unrecognized and unhealed creates often serious repercussions that can be unhealthy not only for ourselves, but for the world. So healing itself is the capacity to be restored to a wholeness or balance in life that allows us to enjoy and be open to life and to not cause damage to ourselves, others, or to the world. Healing can take place, of course, on an individual level, but it also can take place within a community or even at a national level, and sometimes a world needs to be healed. Each time that we are wounded, we can be healed such that we can move back into living a pleasurable, hopeful life that is whole and characterized by openness, possibility, and love, without carrying around detrimental residue that limits our lives. Healing, of course, takes many forms. We can take, which is easiest for us often, our physical healing, which most of us are able to understand to some degree. If we walk around with a broken bone that isn't set, or a serious infection that isn't treated, or a disease that progresses without us tending to it, we all know that leaving these conditions untreated can lead to serious, if not deadly, consequences for life. The really neat thing about the body, which is really built in, is that we know that healing takes place often spontaneously. God has built healing right into our bodies. A couple of weeks ago, I had an eye infection and a cold sore all at the same time, which are annoying, but they healed without any intervention. Colds, cuts, bruises, and other minor physical ailments will heal in time on their own, and it's built in to our bodies, and it will happen many, many times over our lifetimes. How remarkable is that? We can be wounded and we can heal. Then, to further help us, God gave us science, which has led to remarkable breakthroughs in the medical field in helping us how to learn how to heal the body. And we're learning more and more all the time. And we can't dismiss either miraculous healing, where somebody is spontaneously healed without medical intervention. People are restored to physical wholeness without medical intervention. And we know that physical healing is integral to our well-being as human beings. What we understand less, however, is the need to address wounds of the mind and heart. Conditions that, if left, can create severe, even dangerous threats to ourselves and to others. When we don't recognize, address, and experience healing in these areas, much more damage can be done to ourselves, to our relationships, and to the world. So leaving these wounds untreated will compromise our wholeness and well-being and have the potential to do way more damage than anything physical can do. We have then diseases or wounds of the mind. And I'm not talking about physical wounds that are treated by medicine. Things like bipolar disorder, or schizophrenia, severe depression, and other conditions like that. Wounds of the mind that I'm talking about are those that inhibit our capacity to think or to reason well. And it's complicated, to say the least. And these are wounds that cause us to think in ways that lead us to be less than compassionate, loving, and open. And I just want to be clear, I'm not a specialist in this area, in the healing of the mind. But let me use a rather prevalent example, and a more extreme example, of the wounds to the mind that have been created through generations, perhaps, and through our lives. So an example that's prevalent in today's world is the faulty thinking that leads people to express prejudice against other races and cultures. Wounds of the mind are those that cause us to think less of other people, to not love, to not be compassionate, to show prejudice. Humans, as in general, need to be healed of this kind of thinking if we can even start to think about peace or well-being for our world. These wounds need to be healed. And there is a more extreme case of this, is people being drawn into cults where their thinking leads to extremism and even death because of the way they have come to think. Did you ever think of those as wounds of the mind? Any way of thinking that can do damage to the self or others is mental woundedness and requires significant healing to recover. And that comes in all kinds of ways: therapy, groups, meditation, friendships, prayer, forgiveness, rehabilitation, or any other means of healing the mind. I'll give you one perfect example of the healing of the mind in Scripture. The Apostle Paul experienced such hatred that he went around persecuting people with the hopes that they would die. An extreme wound of the mind, where God intervened and healed him and brought him around to a place of acceptance and forgiveness and love. Remarkable. Healing of the heart is perhaps one of the most under-recognized yet most vitally needed areas of restoration that we need as humans. We have experienced all kinds of things: rejection, abandonment, and loss in our lives that leads to wounds that do significant damage to us and to others. Our hearts become hardened. We won't let people in, and we begin to shut other people out when our hearts are wounded. At its worst, we can engage in addictions, lashing out, abuse, bullying. We can become depressed or even consider harming ourselves when our hearts are too wounded and they are not healed. Wounds of the heart do considerable damage to our wholeness, perhaps more than any other wounds. Yet all too often we do not deal with them. Prayer, counseling, being in community, spending time with friends, meditation, reflection, even music, and so many other activities can lead to a healing of the heart, but we have to recognize that we are wounded first. One of the most poignant examples of healing in Scripture for me is that story I just read about the woman who was caught in adultery. And as the story goes, she is caught, she is brought before Jesus by these people who are so immersed in the law and the wounds of the mind that they would rather kill her than restore her. And they bring him to Jesus and said, "She's not allowed to do this. We can stone her. What do you say?" And he kneeled down and he wrote something in the sand, in the dirt. And then he stood up and said, if you are without sin, you can throw a stone at her. And in that moment, they too recognized their own woundedness and began to walk away. This story talks about a definite threat to her physical well-being. She could be put to death. But there is another wound in her life because she has experienced total rejection by her community. Her heart is wounded. She is a scorned woman. And of course, her mind is wounded in this moment by the fear and hopelessness of her situation. Everything is going to be taken from her, everything in this moment, and she has no means of surviving this and no means of healing. It is the end for her until Jesus intervenes and he restores her wholeness. He prevents her bodily destruction, overcomes her fear and hopelessness, and he shows such compassion to her that she can experience healing and participate again in life. It would be unrealistic to think that once Jesus had healed her, that she wouldn't ever need healing again. What Jesus did in those moments was restore people to wholeness or balance in body, mind, or heart in the moment so that they could go back and participate fully in life. Would the woman need healing again? Of course. She was human. She'd need it many, many, many times after those moments. Perpetual question in this story always is, what did he write in the sand? Here's what I think. I think we're not supposed to know. Because I think it is a beautiful metaphor for healing. Because when you write in sand, it is fleeting. A little gust of wind, and it's gone. Jesus, in that moment, restored her to life. That's what the healing ministry is about. That's what the church is about. Helping people to live full, abundant lives dedicated to God's vision of what the world should be. And the amazing thing about it is that there is a power greater than anything else in the world that can and does heal when we immerse ourselves in it and we draw from it. And this is where the healing team works, to draw on that power of Christ for healing. Just one more aspect of healing I want to finish with today. And we don't often think of healing this way. But one day, we will all experience ultimate healing where all our woundedness and pain will be wiped clean and we will start together all over again in a better place. A little like writing in sand. This is the miracle of the resurrection that we are going to celebrate today. New and abundant life will someday be ours, where there will be no more pain and tears. Ultimate healing. But for now, let's be courageous enough to admit where we're wounded and seek the healing that we need in the name of and through Christ's Spirit that is present among us. Wonderful. Loved. There you go. That you do feel that. You do feel some presence of Christ loving us, healing us. So if you want to make an appointment, get in touch with Gisela and check out the healing pathway.